Well, good morning, church. Happy Thanksgiving. Earlier this week, I was chatting with my kids about our weekend, and I asked them, hey, what are you thankful for these days? And Sophia, our eldest, she had lots of things to say. She talked about fall sun and cozy sweaters and hot coffee and cold coffee. Ooh, pumpkin cream brew, cold coffee, and that first sip that you get out of a brand new water bottle, and her favorite song. And I asked Liam, who's 14, and he just kind of stared at me. And then Harry, who's our youngest, he said, "Ah, Mom, where do I even start? There's so much to be thankful for. Our family and a roof over our heads and Jesus. I'm thankful for Jesus." And at the mention of his name, you know, that ordinary moment, it became reverent. Right? Simple joys turned to deep gratitude, Jesus. And it reminds me of that distinct moment, you know, and right before you receive communion, and then what happens when you have those communion elements in your hands, his body, his blood. You remember his death, and you celebrate what has been won, and you're confronted by the weight of your sin. And your life is hanging on what these elements represent, right? Christ's death, his resurrection, his return one day. And what was this previously common moment that was filled with distraction is now holy quiet. Right? The liturgical term Eucharist, it means the giving of thanks. And it's the highest act of thanksgiving for the greatest benefit that we've received from God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it's from ordinary to extraordinary, from noisy to still, from simple to sacred. But, well, what's the difference? Generic thanksgiving versus deep Christian gratitude, right? How do we cultivate meaningful, Christ-centered thanksgiving? And why do we actually need it for our lives? Well, these are some of the things we want to unpack today. So let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for this brand new day and the chance to gather in your presence, Jesus. Your word is alive and active, and how we long for it to penetrate our hearts today. So we are here. We pray for you to open our ears and our hearts in new ways and speak to us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving this weekend, we can start to get this immediate picture in our heads of things like turkey or family or football or pie, right? It's this time that we come together and we're experiencing and expressing thanks. And it's generally for blessings that we've received, things that maybe bring us happiness or benefit, right? And not that these things aren't good things. These are good things, but as Christ followers, we know that giving thanks can be so much more. And yes, it's recognizing and expressing appreciation, but gratitude runs so much deeper than simply this thoughtful response to kindness. It moves in a much more elaborate or extensive way than that obligatory or mechanical response. Worldly thanksgiving and Christian gratitude can be very different. Right? When we look at gratitude, God is inviting us into something profound, maybe even gritty or challenging. Right? He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. As Christ followers, God is calling us into something something high, much, much higher than our thinking. It's counterintuitive. God says to us in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks always and for everything. And I don't know about you, but these can be hard days. Right? And on hard days, it can be pretty hard to get to gratitude. And people everywhere are on edge, tired, exhausted. Right? COVID numbers are back on the rise. Racial divisions are threatening to separate us further. We are still operating out of this culture of scarcity, not enough time, not enough money, and now we're back again to not enough toilet paper, right? And within all of this right now, life still hasn't stopped, right? We still have tuition fees. We still have stress with work. We still have fractured and broken relationships. So here in this, here is where we're supposed to find thanksgiving in every circumstance. It's thanksgiving always with disease, disaster, disappointment, death, discouragement. My thoughts do not jump to thankfulness. You know, thankfulness hasn't always come easy. Right, we see that we may have a problem with thanking God in Luke 17. There we read a story about Jesus who heals 10 lepers, and only one of them comes back to thank him. And of all the principles in that story, one that I believe that Jesus is showing us is that we might have an inclination to ingratitude. Right? Gratitude for us may not actually be a reflex reaction. And I know that can be kind of hard to hear for us, but it is true. I think personally, all of those things that I do take for granted, right? My running water or my hearing or a warm bed, right? I can neglect to give thanks for a multitude of gifts that I experience and know every day. Sometimes too, we can just get too busy and preoccupied. Right, simple everyday gifts go unnoticed. Good health or thunderstorms or crunchy leaves. We can be forgetful too. It can be as Moses said to the Israelites about the promised land in Deuteronomy 8. He said, "Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish, and more money come in, watch your standard of living go up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God." So whether it's in good times like that or hard times, we can overlook God's goodness to us, his daily protection of us, his provision for us as the day goes along. Sometimes his grace and his generosity and his mercies just pass us by. I think sometimes too we can get dissatisfied or even restless. We start looking at those things that we don't have, and in turn we miss being thankful for all of those things that we do have. Right? When we compare our lives to other people, we lose this appreciation of our own car or home or clothes or bank account. Right? Sometimes too, we can end up in thanklessness because we have expectations for how things are supposed to go in our life. And then when life doesn't go that way and our expectations aren't met, well, then we end up feeling let down or ripped off or cheated. And then we end up resentful or ungrateful for the hand that we've been dealt. And it seems that Jesus is right. And sometimes in our lives, we are not thankful for what we've been given. And thanklessness is the beginning of our undoing. And when we aren't thankful, we are setting ourselves up against God. And as well, we're impoverishing ourselves from the fullness that he actually wants to give to us. When we aren't thankful, we end up minimizing what we have. And it emphasizes deficiency. Contentment and peace are diminished. We rob ourselves of joy. We don't delight in what we experience. We end up emptying ourselves of all our good stuff, every blessing, every beauty. We just strip away every good thing. And then we're left with gloomy or disappointing. And our relationship too with God can feel distant, right? Not intimate or connected or close. And our lives, our witness, the people around us, well, we're demonstrating scarcity or distress. It's not joy. It's not hope. And this is not the quality of life that Jesus intended for us. He came that we would have life in full. Life in full. And it's interesting because this statement helped me to see something about myself. And I wonder if you've ever done this. I think I've made the mistake in my life that I see myself as either high on the mountain or down in the valley, that things are good or things are bad, right? But I don't think that this is an either or situation. I wonder if in fact it's a both and, right? Scripture said thanksgiving in our circumstances. Perhaps gratitude and joy and hope run alongside pain and suffering and heartache. Maybe they're concurrent ideas, not competing ideas. Kay Warren describes life as a set of parallel train tracks with joy and sorrow running inseparably throughout our days. And we try and outsmart our sorrow track by concentrating all of our efforts on the joy track, as if some type of positive outlook could make that sorrow track go away. But we can't replace our struggles with words of thanksgiving. We can't substitute a grateful thought for a discouraging situation. These are our car accidents and bankruptcy and miscarriages and job cuts, right? We can't convert adversity. We can't reshape pain. Our circumstances are real. But left without thanksgiving, those circumstances, they're going to be raw. They're going to be empty. To deplete thanksgiving is to silence hope. And that's why the issue of gratitude is so significant. That's why it's such a powerful component of the Christian life. Right? Gratitude is a weapon, right? It splits those chains of negativity and discouragement and anxiety. It breaks that stronghold of lack or despair or hopelessness, right? It's anchored in the abundance of God. It is postured in the very power of Jesus Christ, right? Our confidence is in his always giving us perfect and good gifts, right? It is our assurance of his plans for us, his future for us. And it is our certainty of his good purposes, despite the appearances. Thanksgiving is not nice Christian character. It is a conquering force. It is a defender of the soul's joy and health. And it's hard fought, and it is deliberate, and it is practiced, and it is expressed, right? When trials abound, so praise must abound all the more. Right? It's like David when he's writing psalm after psalm. I mean, look at his terrible situation with he's on the run and Saul is trying to kill him. And he says in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We must cultivate gratitude and thanksgiving because it is victory declared of the strength and the triumph of God. It's like Job. Job in 121 says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We must practice giving thanks. It is conviction and knowing that in all things he's working for our good. So how do we do this? How do we cultivate greater and greater depths of gratitude in our lives? Well, the very first thing that we need to do is we need to decide to give thanks. We are choosing thankfulness. It is to elect to live a life filled with gratitude and joy. We cannot simply focus on what is not. We must reframe our position to include all that there is. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 tells us, though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. We cannot simply focus on what we see in front of us. This world will leave us wanting, right? This kind of happiness, it's thin and it's flimsy and it relies on feelings and moods, and it's unpredictable and unreliable. We need to look up, right? We need to deliberately set our minds on things above. God's love for us, his gift of grace, his power, his miracles, his presence, his position for us. When our life appears barren or desolate, like the way Habakkuk described, when people or places or possessions or positions come up short, here is where we need to set our minds on God. Right? The Father is the source and provider of every spiritual blessing. Of every future promise, every miracle. And as the Spirit sets that aflame within us, we take hold of that, and genuine thankfulness is awakened. Meditating on Christ, meditating on his word. It's a decision to immerse ourselves in knowledge of him, so that in all circumstances, who he is becomes our greatest conviction, right? When we believe God's will is good, fear decreases and faith and thankfulness increase. And this is to see our lives, our losses, our disappointments from his perspective. And in an eternal perspective, an all-knowing perspective, we decide to see things his way. And whether we experience it as victory or tragedy, right? Whether it's loss or it's gain or joy or grief, our hope is in him. Right? We reset our thinking and we choose a life that's filled with gratitude. And it's got to start as an intentional decision, right? To believe that our God has not forgotten us or discarded us, that he will put all things right. Because thankfulness grows not out of our external circumstances, but out of an inward certainty. So then when the gravity of our current circumstances threatens to take us down, well, thankfulness will lift us out of our present condition into what we know will be because of who God is. Right? It is a decision. We have a choice, and we decide to give thanks. And it's out of that then that leads us into the second thing that we do. We need to dedicate ourselves to giving thanks. This is to commit to thankfulness. Right? We enter into our circumstances with obedience and surrender. Right? First, we need to decide and set our direction on his plan, not our plan, and then we need to commit to it. Right, think of Jesus at the Last Supper when he was teaching the disciples about celebrating communion, and he took the bread and he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave thanks for these things, knowing what they represented. To him, his body beaten and broken and his blood being poured out for us. This wasn't some obligatory blessing that he said over a meal. You know, in giving thanks for these elements, he was saying to the Father, I willingly surrender myself to your calling on my life, whatever the cost. Right? It was with gratitude that he set joy before him and endured the cross. And we need to train our hearts to respond like this, in this deep trust and faith in the plans of God. You know, I don't know how many of you have been given a life-threatening diagnosis. Several years ago, I was facing a very difficult season, and I remember being afraid of dying, specifically leaving my husband and my children. But in that season, God showed me such beautiful things instead of fear. And I've been cleared now, but I've gained so much, you know, and an appreciation for how precious and how fragile life is. How to live presently and experience joy in my present moments. You know, I've gained intimacy with Jesus because I've had to trust him like I've never had to trust him before. And he has led me into deep and lasting gratitude and joy. Right? And whether God is giving you an opportunity today that you can press into if it's a difficult situation, right? Or if you just need to make that commitment with a tangible practice, just dedicate yourself to cultivating gratitude. While in prison, Paul shared in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. It will require practice and learning and relinquishing expectations. It requires time for the Spirit to do his work within us, to experience God's grace to us. And the benefits of a heart that's filled with gratitude. We have to give priority, and we have to give genuine attention. And there are a few practical ways that we can do this, right? Through discipleship. Certainly we can glean from others. Discipleship is a great way to practice. If we want to become a people of giving thanks, thanking always, thanking in everything, well, find someone who repeatedly demonstrates this, and then that someone will reinforce these habits in us. Another way that we can commit to Thanksgiving is to slow down, to remember and recount. You know, it's like author Anne Voskamp, who spent a year writing down the 1,000 gifts that she had received from God. And this practice, it reminds us of all of God's faithfulness to us, how full our life really is. Right? Every blessing that you can think of, you write it down and you see how long that list goes. Another way that we can learn is we take time. We set aside time, we commit time, we say thank you, whether it's in prayer or whether it's journaling. But we dedicate a morning or an evening or both or whatever it looks like to you, not legalistically, but genuinely. And we devote that time to God to respond in praise, in adoration. Practicing Thanksgiving is this invitation to experience fresh joy. You know, our God who has been with us through our past, who is with us here today, who we will be with forever, He's our strength that cannot be shaken despite our circumstances. Right? Grateful hearts to God are led away from the powerlessness of self and into the all-sufficient power of God in our lives, to see lasting change and to see faith strengthened. We need to dedicate ourselves to God and give thanks. And then from here, the last thing that we do is we demonstrate giving thanks. Our lives are an expression of gratitude and joy. Thankfulness and worship are in our very conduct. And we do it privately, like when I'm singing at the top of my lungs in my car. We do it in community, like when we gather at a prayer summit and we join our voices together and honor God. We can express it personally, or even better, we can find ways to engage in a season of thankfulness in community. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe as a life group, you do it together. But the idea is that you find ways to share deliberate, Holy Spirit-directed expressions of gratitude. Just think about how communities will be radically transformed from strife and from self-interest into people growing more graceful and grace-filled. Right? We express ourselves with our voices. We sing. The Bible tells us to get loud, that we grab instruments, that we get together with others. That the message of Christ that dwells deep within us, we teach and admonish one another as we sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Or we give testimony in our life of God's goodness as we speak to others. We share His hope and His healing with other people who may be in a similar situation to us. It is as Paul said in Colossians 2, we are to abound in thanksgiving. And this is to let the joy of Jesus cause celebration to rise up and spill out and overflow in community. We draw near to God in prayer with praise and thanksgiving. And we experience His presence and His fullness for His glory. And our praise and our song and our prayers, these are weapons against the enemy. Right? As we give thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, when thankfulness resides in our hearts and expresses itself through our very lives, right, this is evidence that the Holy Spirit lives in us and He's producing beautiful things through us for His kingdom. We bless each other by our expression of gratitude, and we're demonstrating peace and humility and trust in our world. It's to put on display the hope of God in a hopeless time. Right? The last way that we cultivate thanksgiving is by expressing it. So we must choose, and then we must commit, and then we conduct ourselves with thankfulness. Right? We must decide, and then dedicate, and then demonstrate thanksgiving in our lives. And this is how we cultivate gratitude-drenched lives. And as we train ourselves to be Jesus-focused, Holy Spirit-fueled, gratitude-filled people, we are filling our life's most desperate moments with God's glory. We are flooding our situation with His promises. And while it may not change our circumstances, the Holy Spirit will change us in our circumstances. Remember, we cannot divorce our circumstances from thanksgiving. Otherwise, we will be drained and will limp along. We can become overpowered by bitterness and hardship and discouragement. And the sheer willpower to just soldier on is not going to be enough. It will leave us empty. Right? We have to set our hearts and our minds on Him and get rid of our expectations and our wills. We have to choose His, commit to His, right? And then we discover His all-sufficient grace to us. We will experience His all-sufficient power to us. And in turn, this grows our thankfulness, right? The kind of thankfulness that is able to say always, the kind of thankfulness that's able to say in every situation. Right? Because where God may give common grace to all, anyone can be thankful, but Christ followers, by the very power of His Holy Spirit, well, He has imparted to us transforming power in gratitude. And it sets itself on the joy that is ahead for us. This is not just sprinkling our lives with thankfulness. This is no incidental ingredient of our faith. We must let praise flow, right? When we don't proclaim His goodness, it leaves our situation grim and deserted and bare. Right? When we don't celebrate and express Jesus, we neglect the hope and the light and the power. Despite what we see, despite what we feel or hear or experience, we extol Him, His character, His goodness to us. Our God is forever good. And He who began a good work in us, well, He's not going to stop until it's done. And He promises to meet our needs today. And He makes known the end from the very beginning. And in trouble, we know that we are more than conquerors. And He knows every tear that we have ever shed and promises us that one day they will be wiped away forever. So friends, let us rejoice. Let us rise in faith-fueled thanksgiving and watch Him give beauty for ashes and gladness instead of heaviness and praise instead of despair. He restores, He rebuilds, He redeems, He fills empty places with more than we will ever need. And may our very lives return to Him all the glory that's due His name. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how wonderful you are. And this day we praise you. And we thank you that you are taking us from glory to glory, and in that, train our hearts to understand the both and. Don't let us squander our experience in only looking at sorrow. May we be a praise-filled people, exclaiming your goodness. We pray, Jesus, that you help us to make that decision to look at the way you look at things from a heavenly perspective, an eternal perspective. May we commit our hearts to your plan, your will, your design, that we would get out of our own thinking and instead rejoice in your good plans for each and every one of us, for your kingdom come, and for your glory. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.